Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mongwe, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Zama, and to your listeners.
Are you well this afternoon?
Quite good, thank you. How about yourself?
Lovely, thank you so much. And we are good, cannot complain at all. Now, Pastor, we're talking about coping with loss and grief. And of course, I want to talk about the Christian approach to this whole subject. Of course, it's a part of the human experience. And of course, everyone at some point will have to go through this. But why? And what does the Bible tell us about grief? And what does one need to ask or to seek professional help to deal with the grief? What is it that one needs to look at? So this week, we're going to be basically looking at those issues. So, Pastor, what is the reason for grief and loss? Is it just a perpetual punishment for our sinfulness?
You can be able to say that grief, it's what we go through when we have experienced a loss, say, of a relationship. So these, in most cases, when we talk about grieving, we're referring to that anguish, the pain that we feel, especially when we have lost a loved one to death. But that same experience or a similar experience of anguish, pain, and inner suffering of at the level of the spirit or of the soul or of the heart, that emotional pain that we feel that quite often becomes physical as well. We experience it also when there is brokenness in relationships like divorce, broken relations. Now, all of this, it will fall into what, to use some big English, we will talk of the post-lapsarian. In other words, incidents. In other words, these the things that we go through because of sin. And these are things that are only manifest in our world after the fall. Prior to the fall or prelapsarian experiences, there will be no loss of relationship. There was no death intended to be part of our experiences. Though we may not say it's a punishment for our sinfulness, but it is the reality after the curses that goes with the fallenness of the world.
You know, Pastor, I'm not sure if we could maybe club together, some of the losses and say they would go together with, you know, some of the pain. For instance, we've talked about divorce, losing relationships, but also there are issues, instances where people lose their jobs, for instance, or maybe the loss of friendships, the friends that friendships that just break, etc. Would you say that all of these form part of one category?
I would say they are related. We would have similar, though not necessarily the same experiences that we go through whenever we have experienced loss. Loss of something or someone that we had treasured.
I see.
In our lives, for one reason or another, if there's ever a reason to treasure a person. Like, for instance, if I lost my father and I'm still a dependent, that sense of loss that we'll refer to as the experience of grief would also be accompanied by the complications of having lost the financial dependence, for instance, that I would have had from my father. So that grief will be complicated with the sense of insecurity and confusion that goes with the loss. So it's not pure loss of grieving over the death of my father. But similarly, if I lost that which had assisted to keep me having a sense of security, both for myself and those who depend on me as a provider, for instance, the various stages, as sometimes it's referred to, of grieving, when grief occurs because of death, some of them may be manifest there, like disbelief, anger, acceptance, and moving to and fro, all of this resolution, that will be part of it. We may get angry with the employer or blame some people for our loss of the job, and eventually we may come to terms with it. So I do see some similarities there.
Now, it's interesting that we're talking about the Christian approach to grief and loss. And I thought to myself, it's actually an interesting phenomenon. Is there a Christian approach? Because, I mean, loss is loss is loss. Grief is just grief. Should there be a Christian approach, or should there be just an approach to grieving or loss?
When we're grieving for those who died, there would be a difference the scriptures would suggest or guide us to realize that our faith and our hope that comes with that obtains when there is less loss to death, like in Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 going forward, when the person who has died had died in faith, died having the hope of resurrection that is reserved for those who have put their lives in the hands of God. We can grieve, yes, but with the understanding that it does not all end in the grave. So we take some consolation. It doesn't take away the pain for the separation now, but it does make a difference that it's not a hopeless case. We will reunite if we live in hope as well. So that's the difference that it, the Christian faith makes when it comes to us dealing with loss and grief. But I think we may take from this very same text that addresses death, we can also take comfort in knowing that, say, we have lost a job, like you used as an example, we can deal with the pain of losing the job now and what comes with that. But if we understood that it was God who had provided in the first instance, and that he cares for our well-being, and we can then be able to hold on to his promises, knowing that in as much as he has allowed that which he had given to us to be taken away, there is more where that came from. And we can trust God in our moment of loss that he will provide again in his own way. Somebody has said God has got a million ways to provide for one issue. So we, in other words, where would I get that kind of a comfort from the scriptures? David talks in Psalm 23. He talks about God providing during his green pastures days. But he also talks about God's people, himself, having sometimes to walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil when I'm going through my own dark valleys of the shadow of death, because your presence there with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So those who walk with God in their day-to-day life, when they go through hardships of loss, grief, and mourning, they do it differently. Their comfort and consolation, it's there, it is guaranteed, and they are better placed to receive it and let it lighten the load of grief, loss, and mourning.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you know, this loss resulting in grief generally happens when people just least expecting it. You know, it just pounces on people at the least of times that they would expect this. And it seems though, as though, you know, when people are going through, you know, grief, they would start blaming God. Why did it happen to me? Why would I have to go through this and all of this? And the question really is, why do then bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question. But how about we also ask, why do good things happen to bad people? I think the point there being that it's the way it is. Bad things happen to good people because it is the work of the enemy.
Yeah.
And it is indiscriminate. Mm-hmm. It is the result of our fallen world. And I'm saying world rather than just the fallen human beings, in that everything's being does. How do I put this? There is pain everywhere. There is fallenness everywhere, in the sense that we have thorns out there. We sow and plant good plants. Weeds come up.
Yeah.
Thorns come up. So this is the state in which we live. There is sickness and death. That will happen to everybody indiscriminately, precisely because of the fallenness of our world. And this ought to make us yearn and place our hope in the promise of the restoration. And until that restoration of the Garden of Eden that was lost, paradise lost, when it's replaced by paradise regained, and as the John the Revelator would capture it, and God will cause former things to pass away, and new things will come, and there'll be no more sickness, no more death, therefore no more tears or no more grief. Until then, we live with this one, and it's gonna hit indiscriminately.
Yeah. Man, Pastor, tell me, is grief an enemy of faith?
It need not be an enemy of faith. It's an enemy of humanity. But those of us who are blessed enough and who have received the grace of God to have this faith that we have within us, we are better placed to fight back at grief, to deal with grief. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 34 that the Lord positions himself next or close to those who are grieving and mourning. So if it were to be an enemy of faith, we would say it may be a challenge also to the faithful, but we are better equipped to fight back. In fact, the Bible says death will die one day, because it's counted as the enemy that will be destroyed last, but it will be destroyed. So in that sense, it's an enemy to God's people, but our faith conquers it all.
Not easy at all. Not easy at all, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Really not easy at all. Now, I know that you mentioned some verses in Scripture, but before I let you go, which Bible Scripture can you say firmly instructs us on the issue of grief?
I make reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and similarly, Paul speaks in the book of Corinthians as well. I also make a reference to the 23rd Psalm and the 34th Psalm. And the list could go on. I think we have at least 91 Bible references that speak to the reality of grief and loss and how God's presence in our lives makes a difference. So I would say that perhaps the one that's quite instructive, much more straightforward, that comes with a promise and a challenge is 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13, in that it says, therefore, grieving we may grieve, but we will not grieve like those who are without hope. So during the time of loss, pain and anguish, we need to remember that we have this hope that God has placed within us. We have this hope that things will not remain the same. There is coming a day when sorrow and mourning shall be pushed away out of the reality. They'll pass away, basically.
Yeah.
And we are going to be eventually freed from that experience. Grief, death will not have the last say in our lives. Sickness will not have the last say. We know how this story ends. According to the scriptures, it ends with God wiping away our tears and putting all that brings tearing to an end. And this should and does make a difference. I have seen people die. Sometimes we talk about the pain of remaining behind when there is death. But there is also the possibility of the pain and the fear that could accompany those who must face death. They must face that alone, it's personal. And I've seen this hope making a difference to them that face death. And because I've seen that make a difference on how they face death, with my loved ones who have since gone to rest, my mother, my father, their words of hope at the reunion that comes with the second coming of Jesus, the hope that made a difference on how they face death helped me to handle the reality and the grief of them having gone to rest before me. I remain without them, but I know that I will meet them again. And it makes my grieving a lot better knowing that they died with hope. I can live with hope as well until I die.
Beautiful, beautiful, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Until then, my brother, God bless your ministry and God bless the listeners.
Thank you so much, Dr. J.
Good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.